years progress,
welcome to another episode of the Dawn of Shades. I'm your host, Gia Scott, and today is June 30th, 2009, and this is episode 314. I've written tonight's introduction, and it was a very good one. Along came someone else who decided to shut down the program without saving the document, and boom, an hour's worth of work was gone. Faster than I could say, no! I could have rewritten it, but instead I decided that maybe it was just a sign that tonight we'd keep things simple. So, check out the website, www.exogenynetwork.com. We have a lot of information available there. If you have a question during the show that you would like to have asked, you can email it to me at gscott@gmail.com. I'll be monitoring the email during the program, and I'll try real hard not to miss a thing. So, keeping with the idea of keeping it simple, we're going to move right along. And please welcome Raymond Grace to the show tonight. Raymond, would you be so kind as to introduce yourself to the audience?
Okay. I'm Raymond Grace, and what we're going to talk about tonight is the use of the mind, something called outing, work on making you aware of your potential. And I've written a book. One of them is called The Future Is Yours, Do Something About It. I've actually written three books that have been published both in English and Chinese. One of my books, called Techniques That Work For Me, has also been published in Italian and Russian. I have filmed about, I think at this point, 11 or 12 DVDs and three CDs on the work that I do. And I teach seminars across America, and we work a lot with water. We want to talk about that tonight. And also, I want to talk on how to prevent abuse, possibly lower crime rate. And these are not just far-out ideas. These are things we have already done. So I don't know what else you want to know about. Now, let me give my websites. I have three of them. Now, my name is spelled R-A-Y-M-O-N. There is no D on it. And my last name is Grace, G-R-A-C-E. So my three websites, the first one is a commercial site, RaymondGrace.us. The next is an information site, Raymond Grace Projects. That's P-R-O-J-E-C-T-S, RaymondGraceProjects.com. And the next one is RaymondGraceFoundation.org. So anybody that wants any information on what we do can check those websites out, and it'll give you some idea of what we're about and what we, the goals that we work towards and how we help people and so on. So I'm really a down-to-earth person, live way back in the woods, and live rather primitively, and I do that as a matter of choice. I'm in the mountains of southwestern Virginia, a few miles north of the Tennessee line. So don't know what else you want to know about me.
Living there primitively, and living in the mountains, you know, I don't know how it is in that part of the country, but coming from the west, if you lived in the mountains, you were really lucky if you had telephone or electricity.
Well, things have changed now. Matter of fact, when I was a kid, we didn't have electricity. We got it at a pretty young age, but that's been a long, long time ago.
I didn't like living remotely. In relatively recent times, I lived where we were probably 15 to 30 miles from the nearest power line or phone line. And where I lived when my daughter was born, phone line stopped about 10 miles away from us. We did have power, but we didn't have phone line.
You were further back in the woods than I am, then.
Well, not much to speak of for woods, because on the desert, trees don't grow so tall.
What do we want to start talking about?
Well, let's see. I was looking at your website and thinking about that. And, you know, when you talk about the dousing, most people are going to automatically go to finding water or lost objects. What other things do you do dousing for?
Well, the image that most people have of dousers is someone with a forked stick walking along the ground looking for a place to drill a well. And that traditionally, for probably hundreds of years, has been apparently one of the main purposes of dowsing. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that it is quite limited. And my reasoning is that if there is something within the human mind that can locate a vein of water several hundred feet under the ground and drill a well there and hit water at the prescribed depth, at the it produced the foretold gallons per minute, and this can be done fairly consistently over a period of years, then there has to be something more there than the five senses. It is an ability that some people have much better than others. It is a teachable ability, I believe, although some people are natural at it. I don't really do much of finding water because not that many people request me to find water. What I do is use dowsing to get information, because our decisions can be no better than our information. If we have good information, we can make better decisions. If we make better decisions, then we will attract better things to us. Real simple. So dowsing has been a way to access information that is not readily available to the human mind. And I use it for a number of things. Probably well known for chasing ghosts out of houses more than anything else. Matter of fact, I started out doing that as a hobby, and then it turned into a profession, and I found a lot easier ways of doing things. Also, dowsing can be used to determine the nutritional value of any food or drink, and not only to determine the nutritional value, but to change it. And dowsing is really an extension of the human mind to allow people to do things that they really didn't know they could do. Now, there's nothing magical about it. I really think it's really just a tool to use. I use pendulums most of the time. I use a .45 caliber bullet on a chain for a pendulum. And you can use anything. Some people think that you have to have a certain kind of stone to match your eyes or your birthstone or whatever. All this is a belief system. It's true only if people wish to accept it as truth, which I don't. I think you can tie a nut on a string and do just as much with it as you can a 3-carat diamond. I really don't think it makes any difference. I've never seen any evidence that caused me to believe it would make any difference. There's all manner of incorrect information about dowsing, such as don't ever let someone else use your pendulum. Well, heck, I loan mine to whoever happens to be with me that needs one, and I've never seen any ill effects from it. There's also the belief that you have to cleanse your pendulum by laying it on a bed of salt or in a fresh running stream on the north side of the hill under the full moon on Tuesday night, and on and on and on. And there's no truth to this kind of stuff. It's just been accepted as truth, and it may possibly be true to those who firmly believe it. But again, it's a belief system. And
you know, don't you find that sometimes people need an elaborate ritual to sort of validate what they're doing?
Well, some people do. I don't. To me, all ritual and ceremony ever served a purpose for anyone was to help them to focus their mind. And what I find is that the human race, for the most part, does not believe in their own power. My old friend Chief Two Trees, an old Cherokee man, had a saying one time that I have quoted so many times, and it goes something like this. People have given their souls to the priest and the preacher, their health to the doctor, their money to the banker, and their kids to the school system, and in so doing, they have lost the power to control their life. So human beings characteristically have given their power to someone else. It may be to the minister, the priest, or to whomever they believe in. And it's just because they don't really believe they have any power themselves. And one of my jobs that I just volunteered to take on as a project because it looked like it was so badly needed was to help people empower themselves. And dowsing is a way to do this. Dowsing lets these people accomplish things that they didn't have a clue they could ever accomplish.
Uh-huh. And how would you do that? I mean, really, because I think about, you know, over the last 5 years, the changes in me, the things that I've accomplished that I never thought of I could.
Well,
or even
okay.
Not even thought about doing.
I'm going to give you one here that's going to stretch your mind. And we want to stretch a lot of minds out there tonight. Because once a mind is expanded, it can never return to its original size. The story I'm going to give you is a story that was given to me, which I have no reason to doubt. In my classes, I always tell people, take on a project, and I will help you with it. Now, the project can be your own life. It can be your home where your kids go to school, or it can be the county jail if you got somebody in jail there. But what we do, we use dowsing to change the energy in places, literally anywhere on earth. Now, we need a person physically on location for this to work very well or to give us feedback, because it doesn't do any good to work on a project and you don't get any feedback because you won't know if you did any good or not.
Uh-huh.
I always tell the folks, pick something that you will get feedback, something that concerns you personally. Don't just pull names out of the phone book. So about, I guess, 4 years ago, had a couple of people in class, and they had just moved into Baltimore. And they were from Canada, and they said, you know, it was a culture shock for them. The crime rate was very high, so they decided they wanted to clean up the whole town. And I said, well, I admire your enthusiasm, but don't you think you ought to lower the sights just a little and maybe clean up the neighborhood where you live or the street you live on? No, we're going to clean up the whole town. I said, well, I wish you well. If I can be of assistance, let me know. But I really think you're biting off more than you can chew here. Well, about 2 months later, I got an email from them saying, what have we done wrong? Because the murder rate has gone through the roof. I mean, it has shot up dramatically. Where did we mess up? And I gave some thought to it, and I did some dowsing on it, asking questions, and I couldn't find that they had done anything wrong. So I wrote and told them, I really can't find anything that you did wrong. Let's wait and see what happens. Within probably 3 months, I received from them by email a picture of the headlines of the Baltimore Sun, and the headline stated, homicide lowest in 28 years. So, as near as I can tell, those folks brought the crime rate down. Now, you know why the murder rate went up? They did a little research on this, and this is the word I got now, that it was criminals killing off other criminals. This was kind of a no-brainer, really, because if you want to lower the crime rate, you got to get rid of the people committing the crimes.
Well,
and apparently that's what they did. Now, did we know it was going to work that way? No, we didn't have a clue. Matter of fact, I wasn't even convinced they could do it. And you know how they did it? Actually, if you want to read about it, go to the RaymondGraceProject.com, and our newsletters are archived there. And this one was called the Baltimore Project. Feel free to read it. And
okay.
This is not my words. These are in the words of the people that did the work. They have kept their last names anonymous. Only signed first names, and they may or may not be accurate. I won't say that one way or the other. But feel free to look at that one day. But I'll explain briefly what they did. And I'm going to have to back up a little bit to do this, but 5 years ago on the 30th of March, I was on the Coast to Coast show with George Norrie. Uh-huh. And George threw me a curve that I wasn't looking for. He said, we've got, I believe he said, 5 to 10 million people listening tonight. If these people would set a container of water by the radio, could you change the energy of it? Because we had been talking about changing the energy of water, which I hope you and I can talk about a little later here. And I said, well, I don't know if that can be done or not. I never had such an opportunity, but don't let it go to waste. Let's find out. So while we were on station break, I went through the procedure, which it's a rather simple procedure, of changing the energy of all the glasses of water sitting by radios across America. Now, I didn't have a clue who or where they were or how many or anything about it. I just went through my normal procedure that I would use for cleaning up water. And when we came back on the air, people were calling in that the water tasted different. They had drank it. It had alleviated their aches and pains and all this. Well, this was a total surprise. I had no idea it would do this, but I was quite well pleased about it. Well, George and I have repeated that experiment twice since then on the show, and each time we get similar results. And I got to thinking about it. If it is possible to change the energy of water over radio waves, not having any knowledge at all of where the water is or who has it, then we could do the same thing with a film. So we created a video first and then converted it to a DVD on cleaning up water. And it's been distributed probably in about 15 countries, not in any great numbers, but it did get spread out there. And the feedback we get from it, and we still get feedback. We've had it out there now for 4 years. And the feedback is that if you put a container of water in front of your TV set and play that video or DVD, then it will change the energy of the water. You will then put a thought or an intent into the water as to what you wish for it to do. And for example, one fellow out in California had a spring, a hot spring, that was just choked full of moss and algae. The hot spring fed a large swimming pool, and the algae was all over the floor and the walls of the pool, and he had not been able to remove it. And he called and asked if I could help him, and I said, well, we have a video here. At the time, it was a video before we converted it, that isn't guaranteed to do anything except to educate people about water. But if you would play this with a glass of water in front of it, and then just hold the water up in your hands and put an intent into it, just a thought, that it would remove the water from your hot spring and your pool, I believe it would work. And go out there and pour it in the pool and let me know what happens. Within a week, he calls to say that 4 days after he did this, the moss and algae was falling off of the walls. It was loose on the floor where he'd never been able to scrub it loose before. He goes upstream, looks into the hot spring, and he said before, about 4 inches into the water was as far as you could see. He said it was clear all the way to the bottom. All the moss and algae was gone. Well, we were real excited about this, and we put that story out on our project page. I think it's still there, maybe. Then we had a fellow up in Vermont on Lake Champlain, and the water there in his well had very strong sulfur content. So he played the video to a container of water, put the intent into the water, nothing more than a thought, that it would remove the sulfur from his water. Went outside, poured it down the well. He said a few hours later there were vapors, very foul-smelling vapors, coming up out of the ground, which he had never seen before. Within 4 days, he could not taste any salt or whatever in the water.
Wow.
Now, this has been done in various ways for the last 4 years. And people have used it to prevent or cut flowers from wilting, to make their flowers and vegetables grow better. They've used it for healing their own bodies, taking away rash, fever blisters, aches and pains, and various things. They've used it on their animals. I've got feedback that one lady gave some to her dog that had cataracts, and the cataracts disappeared. Now, the dog did not have a belief system, to my knowledge. See, power of suggestion goes a long ways. If someone believes in what you're doing and you tell them this is going to work for you, then you have stacked the deck in your favor that it will work. But the dog doesn't have a belief system that you can do that to.
No, that's true. Dogs are just, they're honest and what it is.
So,
yeah.
Now, what happened? I'm still, I had to throw that in as a background here, because we realized if we could change the energy of water with a film, that would then be adaptable to whatever the folks needed for, that we could change the energy in a home, school, hospital, jail, office, or any other place. So I got to thinking about it. Childhood abuse is something that is rampant out there. It's a lot more of it goes on than people realize. So I got to thinking, what if we could create a film that would change the energy in the home to lower the violence, cause people to get along better, and just be kinder to each other? Well, there's a number of factors that need to change before that happens. So we also realized that most of the homes that needed this would never get it. They would never even hear of it.
Uh-huh.
So we had to overcome that. What we did, we put something into that film that allows it. I don't really believe there's ever been anything that's in, created or invented like this. The way it works is you take your project, whatever it is. It can be a home where kids are being abused. It can be a school. It can be the office where you work. It can be where somebody's in jail that you know about and the conditions are terrible. It can be anything, to my knowledge, as long as you have some type of a connection with it. And then you write that down, the name of the place or the person. Either one will work. Or you can take a picture of the place or a picture of the person. Now, in all honesty, all this is for is to help the person doing the work focus their mind on what it is they're doing. It's not an absolute necessity, but most people really don't have the ability to focus their mind that well. So this just allows the left side of the brain to accept what you're doing. And then you play the film with the intent that as I raise the energy on the TV screen, that energy is being applied to your project. And by golly, it works. Now that is what these two people use to lower the crime rate in Baltimore. What they would do is every morning before going to work, they would put the DVD in the player and put a map of Baltimore in front of it with the intent that that energy would be applied to the entire city. Now, it didn't happen overnight. It took probably 3 months. But I just gave you the results, and like I say, you can read their story on the archived newsletters there on RaymondGraceProjects.com.
Yes, I think about that, all that, and going back to your down thing. You know, a big common question people have, because a lot of people's lives have been turned upside down. They've lost jobs, they're looking for more work. There are a lot of people looking at relocating. And it's hard to choose, where shall I go? Because if you go by economic indicators, Louisiana, Gulf Coast would be a great place to be, but I know a number of people that have had a very dismal job hunt here. So it wasn't the best place for them, perhaps. you know, is dowsing something that you can use to say find a place where you should move to?
Okay, now you're fading out on me here, Kia. I'm not getting your words distinctly. They're kind of blurred. I don't know if it's on your end or what it is, but can you be real specific now with one sentence? I got the gist of it, but I didn't quite understand the location you wanted to use, Don.
Well, it could be really any, you know, when someone is questioning, like say they're going to be moving, but they haven't chosen a location. They're going to be moving to look for a job or whatever. Could they use dowsing as a way to say, you know, say they took a map and say, where should I move to? Is that something that you can do with dowsing?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can do that. But you have to ask the right questions in the right manner. If you are looking for a particular place, you would need to state why it is you're going there. Is it to look for a job or some other reason? And you would simply ask your question in this manner: what is the probability of me finding a satisfactory job at this location? And see, you get more than just yes and no's. If you learn to read a dowsing chart, you ask your questions that can be answered as a percentage, and on a scale of 0 to 100%. Plus or minus. That's the way I teach people to check the energy of food and to pick up a can of food in the grocery store or frozen food or whatever they want, can of soup, it doesn't matter. And you wouldn't say, should I buy this or should I eat this? That is an insufficient question. What the proper way to ask that would be, what is the effect of this food upon my body? And you will get either a positive or a negative reading with a numerical value. A plus 100% is excellent. A minus 100% is poison.
Okay.
So
now, earlier
you
said something about...
Go ahead.
Earlier you said something about changing the nutritional value of food.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the virtual auditorium were very curious about that.
Well, now, I missed that statement. Who is it...
A lot of the people in the virtual auditorium were very curious about how that could be.
Okay, so they're writing you on the computer, right?
Right.
Okay. No problem. You kind of filter out what they want to know, and I'll do my best to answer their questions. Well, let me just tell you a story. Most of the information I'm going to give you tonight is going to be in stories because people remember stories easier than they remember procedures. And if you remember the story, you got the procedure already in. And we were both talking at the same time, so tell me again.
I said, I like the stories because I'm a storyteller too.
Okay, that's fine. Well, when my kid, April, was about 11 years old, I was teaching her to douse. So one day she asked if she could have a soft drink. And I said, now, April, I know, I've already measured this, and I know the effect on your body is not good for you. On our numeric scale of 0 to 100% plus or minus, this can of soft drink you want here is a minus 45. That's not good. Matter of fact, if it was a diet drink, it'd been more like a minus 65. So I said, here's the deal. I'll let you have my pendulum. Here's a can of it. Don't open it. If you can raise the nutritional value of that as high as a plus 70, I'll give it to you. Well, the little old kid goes over and sits down and very intently concentrates on it while swinging my pendulum over it. I honestly don't think she needed a pendulum. I think concentration was all she really needed. And a few moments, she brings it back and gives it back to me for me to test it. So I test it, and it is a plus 70. No, excuse me, a plus 90. I said, if you can raise it to a plus 70, you can have it. She got it to a plus 90. I said, okay, a deal's a deal. Here it is. Drink it. Well, a few days later, I saw her eating a chocolate chip cookie. I said, April, I did not see you raise the energy of that cookie. She said, I don't have to. Why? Because I have programmed myself that anything that I like to eat or drink that comes within my energy field is automatically good for me. I have never been able to prove her wrong. And I got to thinking, if an 11-year-old kid can change the energy of a soft drink and chocolate chip cookies and ice cream and all this to where I cannot tell where my readings are giving me that it's a plus 100%. Not only, it was just not just my opinion. I was good friends with the president of the Canadian Society of Dowsers, and he was visiting one day. And April was eating a bowl of ice cream. I said, Larry, I want you to check the nutritional value of that ice cream on April. He just kind of grinned and shook his head. He said, she's still doing it, 100%. Well, I figured if an 11-year-old kid can change the nutritional value of food, then I can use the same principle and help people eliminate allergies. And we have had excellent success with this. Now, 3 weeks ago, I was in Des Moines, Iowa, and there was a farmer in the class there, and he said he was lactose intolerant. And he said, if I were to eat one spoon of ice cream, I would have severe stomach cramps. If I were to eat two spoons of ice cream, I would be laying on the floor in terrible pain. I said, well, let's see if we can help you. I said, now, I can't promise you anything. I don't ever promise anybody anything. I just say, let's see what we can do. And there were other people in the class that were allergic to wheat or cheese or whatever. I don't really remember any except this one because it was so outstanding. The next morning, he comes into class, and he has a story to tell to the whole class. He went out the night before and ate two big scoops of ice cream, a whole bowl full. No problem. This is a typical response that we have most every week somewhere across America.
You know, and I find that one very, very fascinating because I have severe allergies.
What are you allergic to?
Let's see, hops, melons, which include, of course, cucumbers. Now, it's gotten less severe over in citrus, all citrus. It's gotten less severe. Here lately, I actually ate watermelon this week, a big bowl full of cubed watermelon. I had not been able to do that in about 10 years.
Well, we can probably, now please understand, I'm saying probably, not promising anything. I think we can probably neutralize the negative effect of these previously allergic foods upon your body. Now, if I do this, you owe me. You got to send me an email, let me know. The way I tell people to do this in class, I said, go out and eat whatever you've been allergic to, and the survivors can come back tomorrow. We haven't lost one yet.
Well, you know, over the years I've learned, okay, now I'm getting better on the melons. I've been able to eat melons and squash, and I've had some lemon here lately, and nothing bad's happened. The one I'm really afraid of is the hops, because the hops put me into shock once so bad that in 45 minutes you couldn't even tell who I was. My face was so swollen.
Yeah, I can tell. I was doing a reading here as you were speaking, and I can tell they were pretty much deadly poison for you.
And, you know, that's the one. At one point, I could not go anywhere that served beer,
mm-hmm.
not even to an outdoor event.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that bad now, but the thought of drinking anything or eating anything that contains beer or hops in any form, it still scares me because I was real sick.
Well, I can see that you were. Because it's a simple matter to test people for allergies to see if they're allergic to something or not. And the same thing we found would work with bee stings. We had a lady up in Canada that was deadly allergic to bee stings and wanted to know if we could help. And I said, well, I don't know. We can try. I said, what would happen if you were stung? She said, well, I only got stung once, and if I hadn't gotten to the hospital, to the emergency room, I would have died. Well, let's see what we can do. So 2 months later, I'm back up in Canada again and was talking to her, and she said, I got stung by a bee since you were here last. I said, what happened? Oh, a little red spot came up, stung a little bit, didn't really amount to anything. But, you know, what really boggles my mind, I have a friend out in Globe, Arizona, Bob McCusick. And Bob called me one night last winter, and he says, I want to thank you for saving my life. I said, what did I do? He said, "You taught me how to get rid of poison." I said, "I don't remember doing that." He said, "Well, I just followed the same principles that you were using on other things. I just had to adapt it a little bit." He said he woke up one night and he had been stung in the throat by a scorpion, and his throat was starting to tighten up. And he said, "All I did was neutralize the poison," and said within a few moments, he said, "my throat started to loosen up and I got okay." Then one day he was out walking his dog, and the dog stuck his nose up in a culvert under the road, and there was a 6-foot rattlesnake in there. Bit the dog in the chest. So he did the same thing. He neutralized the rattlesnake poison. Then later on, his wife got bit with a black widow spider. He did the same thing. And he said, "A lot of folks out here get bit with black widows," and said, "it looks like their hand's about to rot off." He said, "There's nothing wrong with my wife's hand." So that is really the best stories I have ever heard concerning this type of work. I mean, it makes getting old people over food allergies kind of pale by comparison. And see, the way we learn about this stuff is simply by feedback from the people that we try to help. And that's really the only reason to believe anything is, does it work? See, I only ask two questions on anything. One is, does it help? And the second question is, does it work? I mean, the first is, does it work? And the second question is, does it help? And there's not any reason to ask a third question. Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I do find the idea of being able to neutralize the poison to eliminate allergies. Because sometimes I wonder, my daughter started developing, she's an adult, she started developing allergies. The pattern started matching, it was different things, but started matching the pattern that I saw happen to me while she was growing up. And I was like, you know, did she catch, and I'm not talking literally like you catch a virus, but did she catch this allergy thing by being around me? Is it something that I was doing that made me susceptible to allergies?
Well,
and I did question that. You know, my mother has no allergies. Most people in my family have no allergies.
Well, I never know why a person has allergies. I don't even bother to get into that. See, all I work on is how do you solve the problem. I don't overanalyze anything. Usually I don't analyze it at all. I say, okay, what's the problem? If people start to ask me a real complicated question, I just stop and tell them to sum it all up in one sentence. And all I want to know is, what's the problem? How do we fix it? And I'm not too concerned about why they have it. Because, see, whenever we're eliminating allergies out here in the class, we may have a group of people in there. We may have a dozen people that all have allergies to different things. So you just work on them all at the same time. I mean, it's the same principle of working on all those glaciers of water sitting by the radios out there all across America. You don't do them one at a time. You do them all together. But
yeah.
back to the original idea is this is a product of what we're calling dowsing. And dowsing is nothing more than being able to focus your intention. That's really all it is. Nothing
okay.
magical about it at all.
And that makes sense. The dowsing is really, you know, the art of focusing attention.
Well, see, the human mind is far more powerful than most people understand, maybe more powerful than any of us understand. So all we're really doing is tapping in to a part of our brain that normally we don't tap into. According to my friend Ed Stillman out in Sedona, Arizona, who has done some brain frequency research, he found that dowsers simultaneously function in the alpha, beta, theta, and delta levels. And I didn't know that until he was telling me about it. And I thought, well, that probably makes sense because that's why you can carry on a conversation with someone on a phone while you're finding out things about them. just like I was checking the effect of melons upon your body. And you're right, they were did have a negative effect. But when I checked hops, it was so much more a much worse effect than the melons were. And you can just get information. You can tell if a person is allergic to a food or drink, and pretty much to what degree. If it's a mild allergy, a moderate, or if it's severe and poison. And I could tell hops were pretty poison for you.
Yeah, they made me pretty sick. I have to admit that.
Well, I don't know if they will hereafter, because I've been working on you a little bit as we talk here tonight. So,
Well, I guess I will have to. I will experiment in stages because, like I said, it used to be severe enough that I couldn't eat. Like if someone had a barbecue and somebody was drinking beer at the barbecue outside, I couldn't even be, you know, within 100 yards of them.
Well, okay, but
there's just
now,
enough of it would drift in the air, I'd start swelling.
Okay, well, don't think about that anymore, because if you do, you can bring it back. See, let me explain.
Okay.
Let me explain the principles of the work that I do. Number one is that all things, literally 100% of everything that exists, is composed of energy. And the intelligent human mind has the ability to change or properly direct energy. Number two, energy is impressed upon matter. Number three, energy follows thought. So if energy follows thought, then you certainly do not want to dwell upon your allergies. You want to dwell upon something that is beneficial. So, you know, I might be able to clear a person of allergies, but if they continue to talk about how bad it used to be, they will bring that energy back and probably bring the allergies back. The number one rule of success is think of what you want, not what you don't want. Why? Because energy follows thought.
Okay. I guess that makes a lot of sense. And you're not the first person that's told me that energy follows thought, and what we give attention to, in essence, becomes reality.
Mm-hmm. So, see, thoughts are the first step of creativity, because your thoughts will determine your decisions, and your decisions will determine your actions, and your actions will determine your future. So if people don't like where they are in life, they got to change something, because if you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on getting what you're getting every time. So the first place to start is by changing your thoughts.
That makes sense. You know, I can remember when my kids were little and I'd make some comment about, you know, well, gee, I hope they behave, whatever, and my mother would say, well, don't program them to misbehave or whatever. And she was saying, you know, but by being afraid of or worrying about a negative thing happening, I would be actually programming the kids to do that negative thing.
Exactly. And kids are most receptive to programming. Matter of fact, I always wondered what a kid could do if they didn't know they couldn't do it. So about 22 years, almost 23 years ago, I started experimenting on one, mine. And I wrote a book about it. It's called Seasons of April. And it's how I use positive thinking and some mind development techniques to raise a kid. And I'm more proud of that book than any of the others that I wrote, because I feel it's so much needed out there. Because, well, sometimes all you got to do is walk through the grocery store and see people screaming or yelling or jerking their kids around, and it's pretty obvious that they don't know a damn thing about raising kids. So I decided I'd write a book about it, and it's gone over pretty good. And we did it with kindness, we did it with positive thinking, and it worked. Not only that, we never sent her to school until she was almost 14, and she wanted to go to high school. So never had any formal education. I wrote in there about how we learn things, how I taught her to think. And once she went to school, I said, okay, we're going to clean up the energy in the school. This is another thing that we do. We've been able to lower violence in schools. We've actually been able to according to a Canadian Mountie that I was working with, lowered the violent crime rate to zero in Eskimo Village up on the Arctic Circle. It was very violent there, and we managed to eliminate all of the violence problems there in the village. So I've helped a number of people clean up the schools where their kids or grandkids go, and that's what I did, and the kid left home happy every day and came home happy for 4 years. And most kids in America don't get to do that, I don't think. But they could if someone would just educate themselves enough to know what to do about it and then do it. I've got to put in a plug here for some folks out in Des Moines, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
I mentioned a while ago being out there, and there was a lady out there, and I won't give her name because she might not want me to, but she had been ordering some books from me because she said she had a number of friends that she wanted to use my books kind of as a textbook to teach them some things, and they were going to take on the schools. Well, as I said earlier, anytime I'm teaching a class, I always tell the folks, now you pick a project to work on today, and while I'll talk you through it, show you how to clean up the energy in a place, and it can be your home or where you work or where your kids go to school or the county jail or whatever. Well, you know, there was a number of people there that had kids in school, and they were telling me about where the kid went to school. I was checking the energy on it, because we can read energy on a place anywhere in the world. If it hadn't been for the county jail, we wouldn't have had anything to work on. Why? Because those people had already cleaned up all the schools around there. And they'd done an excellent job at it.
Huh.
And of all the classes I've taught across America, this is the only place that I've ever actually seen people really form a group and use the information. And I was just really so pleased.
Well, and New Orleans, I said I live in New Orleans. And New Orleans has had a long-term problem in the schools and problem with violence. You know, but at the same time, how can one person take on an entire city?
Well, it wasn't one person taking on a city. It was two people, man and his wife. How do you do it? Just because you got the guts to believe you can do it, and then go at it. Most people don't believe in themselves. That's what I said a while ago. They give the power to somebody else. These people believed that they could make a difference. They believed in themselves. And they did make a difference. How did I clean up an Indian Eskimo village on the Arctic Circle, 2,000 miles from here, when I've never even seen the place, and the Eskimos don't even know I exist? This is part of what you can do with the power of your mind. Doubting is just simply a way to access it. Nothing magical about it at all. It's the power of a focused mind.
Okay. So we're getting close to a break here, so I don't want to go off too far on a tangent, because I'm curious. When we come back from the break, I'm going to have to get you to tell everybody how they can learn to focus their mind then.
How do you focus your mind?
Yeah. We only have 2 minutes till we go to break, though.
Okay, let me see if I can sum it up here for you. You need to eliminate stress. Now, whenever we got to go on a break, you just cut me off or tell me, and then we'll take over and come back. But any time that a person is under stress, the brain frequency goes up, and relaxation lowers the brain frequency. And it's the same thing that you would call meditation. Probably the same thing you would call prayer. I've made a statement once. Actually, I was being filmed on TV to explain this, and I said there's really no difference in prayer and dowsing. Both are an intensified thought to achieve a positive end result. Well, they wouldn't show that on TV. They said, no, people are too conservative. They won't go for that. Well, I can't help it because they're too conservative. I mean, I just said what I believe. I always do. But it's simply a way to focus the mind. And you focus the mind by learning to relax the mind. And like I say, you can call it meditation if you like. I don't really use that term, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Okay, hold that thought right there,
okay.
Raymond.
Go right ahead.
It's time for our break. Check out our website, www.exogenynetworks.com, while we're away from your computer. And stay tuned to the UFO Paranormal Radio Network and the Dawn of Shades. We'll be right back with Raymond Grace. Welcome back to the Dawn of Shades. I'm your host, Gia Scott, and once again, I would like to remind everyone to visit the website, www.exogenynetwork.com. Sign up for the newsletter, wander around, explore the website, let me know what you think of it. There are also links to take you to blogs, Twitter, and even Facebook. If you have a question you wish to have asked, you can email it to me at giascott@gmail.com. I'll be monitoring the email during the program tonight. Raymond, before we get back to our discussion, would you give your website again?
Be glad to. My name is Raymond Grace. That's spelled R-A-Y-M-O-N. There is no D on it. Grace, G-R-A-C-E. And my three websites are raymondgrace.us, Raymond Grace Projects. That's spelled P-R-O-J-E-C-T-S, raymondgraceprojects.com, and raymondgracefoundation.org. We have a foundation to support the work that we're doing and allow us to offer some things to people out there that we wouldn't normally be able to offer. I'd like to tell you a little about that.
Okay.
Our major focus of the foundation is to educate people and show them how that they can clean up water, because our major work, most of our work has been with water. We've talked quite a bit of time, while on that, about how we created a DVD that would change the energy of water, but this is also teachable, and we teach people how that they can change the energy of water. One of the things we did as an experiment was to see if we could put a metal water filter on a home, and by golly, it worked. Now, we didn't know it was going to work. It was just an experiment. See, most of our work has just started out like that. Like, I don't know if this will work or not. Let's try it and see what happens. And our first attempt at this was in Paris, France. And I was speaking at the Texas Dowsing Conference in Dallas about 5.5 years ago. And a lady came up to me and said she was from Paris, France, and said, our water over there is terrible. You can't drink the stuff, and you don't even want to take a bath in it. I said, well, we need to put your water filter on for you. And she says, how are you going to do that? And I said, well, I'll figure it out. Send me an email. Let me know what happens. Well, by the time I got home, she had already called her husband over there in France and said, take a drink of the water. And he says, ain't no way I'm going to drink that stuff. And she kept on bugging him. Finally took a drink of it. It tasted good. Well, she said, about 15 months later, the water was still good. So she got to wondering about it, and she went next door to her neighbor who had a physical filter on their water line, but said she could still taste the chlorine in it. She says, uh-huh. In my apartment, where you only put a metal filter on there, I can't taste the chlorine. She was actually in a class I was doing in Texas last year and said the water is still good. Now, this, you were asking me questions earlier about the power of the mind and what you could do with dowsing and so on. This is an example. Does it contradict conventional thinking? Well, certainly it does. Everything we do probably contradicts conventional thinking. If you're going to get ahead in this world, you're going to have to think outside the box. Because, as I said earlier, keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on getting what you're getting. So you got to find alternative ways of doing things. Now, frankly, I did not invent that method. I have a friend, Dr. Alfred Wilkins. He was a chiropractor. He's retired now in Richmond, Virginia. And he had taken a class from me and got the idea that he could create a mental water filter. So he put one on his office, and any time his patients came in, the first thing he would do is hand them a glass of water and say, can you smell or taste any chlorine? But this was just plain old city water from the water department there in Richmond. Nobody could ever smell or taste the chlorine. Al put a filter on that took it all out. And I think, well, by golly, if he can do it, I can probably do it. So we started doing that. Now, one of the most fascinating stories we had that really surprised us, we were out in Missouri last fall, and we were talking to a small group of people in the back room of a store. And the lady had just offered the space out of the kindness of her heart. And I thought, well, we really want to do something nice for her. I always try to be as kind as I can to people. And I said, now, I want you to come in about the last hour of the day today. I have something I'd like to give you. So she said, well, if I don't have any customers in the store, I'll be glad to come back. And she did. Because the reason I did this is because every time that anyone flushed the toilet or turned the water on to wash their hands or anything, you could smell sulfur all over the store. I said, let's put a filter on and filter the sulfur out of that water. Well, she didn't have a clue who I was or what I was doing or anything. Within 30 minutes, we were actually out loading up the car, fixing to leave. She comes running out the front door of the store with a bucket of water, and she was literally screaming, I can't smell the sulfur. It worked that quick. Now, frankly, I was surprised. I expected it to work, but I didn't expect it to work that quick. So that is just an example of what can be done. Now, what we do, we provide information to educate people with our foundation. And we have a video a month. At least we are going to do that throughout this year. And so far it's working pretty good. If it works good enough, we'll continue. And a month or so ago, on our video of the month, we had a video showing people how to put a metal water filter on the water lines coming into their house. Because we'd had such good results with it, we thought, well, why don't we just teach other people how to do this? There's not enough of me to go around, so let's train somebody else. And those videos are now available in hard copy, if that's the correct terminology. I don't really speak technical language real well. For a month, we leave them up there that for $15, people can play them as many times as they like, and the money goes to support the foundation to do other projects. And then once we take them down at the end of the month, then we make physical copies of them if anybody wants to buy them. And what I want to tell you about the one we're most proud of. I'll have to keep the names a bit vague here for protection of some other folks. But one day, late last November, I believe it was around Thanksgiving, I received a call from a CEO of a foundation over in Europe. And at this time, I can't give the name of the foundation, but these people, the purpose of the foundation was to assist torture victims. And the CEO said, we would like to expand our work into human trafficking. Now, that's what I'd always call the slave trade. What I didn't know then, and most people don't know, is that human trafficking, or the slave trade, is the third largest illegal operation in the world, right behind guns and drugs. So
wow.
He said, I had no idea. And most people have no idea. When I tell them this, I can see the surprised look on their faces. And I said, well, I am willing to help you, but what can we do for you? And if we were to help you or work on this, how would you know we made any difference? You know, I'm a fairly logical person. He said, well, there is one location, which I have to keep a secret, that the human trafficking is just rampant there, but we have a number of people observing this, and we would be able to tell if anything changed. And I said, well, what have you done about it? What have you done to stop it? Well, we haven't done anything except observe it. We don't know how to stop it. I said, okay, give me a change at it. Let's see what happens. I said, I'll take this place on as a project, and you let me know if you observe anything. Well, sometime in February, I received a very enthusiastic phone call that the human trafficking in this area had greatly decreased. And the folks were wondering what has happened. Well, this person did not tell anyone who I was or anything about it. He kept the whole operation very secret, which is why I'm having to be a bit vague on this. And I was asked, would I come to that part of the country and teach classes in how to do this? And I said, no, I'm really not interested in traveling to foreign countries. But I got to thinking about it. If I were to do that, they might not understand it. They might not understand my hillbilly accent. I probably couldn't understand them very well either. So why don't we create a film, a DVD, on what I did and what brought the results. So we created about a 40-minute film, and we entitled it Blueprint for Freedom. Now, it's a whole lot easier to make DVDs than it is to figure out what you're going to call them after you get them made. So we film them, and then we figure out what kind of name you want to hang on. Uh-huh. So we did an experiment. I said, let's don't sell this one. Let's give it away. So we put it up on a website where people could view it. They couldn't download it. They couldn't copy it, but they could view it. And we made it available to where they could also send the link to anyone else they wanted, because we wanted as many people to have this information as would use it or would do anything at all with it. Within 2 weeks, we reached people in 10 countries. Now, we got a pretty good bill from the internet provider on that one, too, because we know a lot of people looked at it because we had to buy the bandwidth there. So,
yeah.
You know, we could tell from the bill we got that a whole lot of people had looked at it. And we got some pretty good feedback on it. But this is, we work real time efficiently. We work cost efficiently. So we filmed, produced, and distributed the information to reduce abuse, and we did it all for less than $1,000.
And not
we did
bad.
We did it in 10 countries. I kind of doubt most operations can work quite that efficiently. And we're right proud of what we did. Now, the film itself, when we filmed, everything was fine, and then the sun came out and changed the lighting. So the lighting could have been a little better. I mean, it was a little too bright, but it's okay. It still worked. The pictures weren't all that important. What was important was the message. And we will probably put that one up again, but those physical copies of that are available on that RaymondGraceFoundation.org website. They can be ordered, and you can direct those. Now, here's the good part about it. When we found that we could change the energy of water through a film, then we progressed to changing the energy of a home or jail or hospital or school or whatever through a film. So then we decided we were going to make this easy for people, because human beings, for the most part, are mentally lazy. Some philosopher said evil exists because good people do nothing. Well, I tried to take that excuse away from them. Most people don't want to get involved. It's just human nature not to get involved in things, I guess. So, like I said, I tried to take that excuse away from them. I said, look, all you got to do is, if you know of whether it's a nursing home, jail, hospital, school, home, or whatever, where anybody is being abused, simply write down the name of it, put it in front of your TV set, play this video or DVD with the intent that this energy will be applied to your project. and you can go inside and pull the shades and lock the doors. You don't have to tell anybody you did it. You don't ever have to call protective services. You don't have to call the cops. You don't have to testify at a trial. By golly, just play the video and focus on where you want it to go. It don't get much simpler than that. So, you know, I'm a real simple, blunt, down-to-earth person. And I just look for what works and then do it. And then do my best to make it available to anybody out there that can think. Now, you do have to be able to think to a certain degree to follow this kind of work. But that's what we're doing with the foundation. We're working on abuse, eliminating it. We're working with lowering violence in schools. We're working at teaching people how to conserve and energize water. We've got a little 4-H project going up here in the county where I live, and I knew that most of the 4-H kids probably didn't live on farms or have tractors. So we set them up a vertical garden that they could grow right on the side of their house. And it's doing pretty good. We're going to see if we can get some pictures of that and have it on our foundation site here pretty soon. So we want to work with kids as much as possible, teaching them to expand their mind and just kind of be responsible people, to be able to make better decisions, because a kid today is going to be holding public office and making decisions, running the country 15, 20 years down the road. So we figured if we could give them some information to work with and help them out, why, then they're going to be able to do a better job. And we've really, really focused on the environment. We're just getting started. We've only been doing this for about a year now. We had to learn as we go. But we are learning, and we are making progress with it. So I appreciate anybody taking a look at the foundation site and taking any of our material and seeing what you can do with it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, having kids that are going to grow up to be adults capable of thinking clearly and making decisions and not simply hopping on the first bandwagon that goes past them, sounds like a wonderful idea.
Well, that's another reason I wrote that book called Seasons of April. Because in the book, I wrote it just like I was talking to her. But what I did, I taught her to think. And I figured if I didn't, nobody else would. So let me just give you a quick example or so of how I worked with kids in the past. We live way back in the woods, and until she went to school, she didn't really have any other kids to socialize with. So there were a couple of families with kids that said they would like their kids to hang out with mine, and they would like for me to teach their kids the way I had taught mine. And they would come up on Sundays. This has been several years ago, back when she was about 7 years old. And I would teach them how to use their mind, teach them some mental tricks, teach them how to empower themselves mentally, to keep bullies away, and to just literally use their mind to get what they wanted and what they needed. So one day I had them all out in the woods, sitting there on the ground. I have them build a fire and cook their food and make them very self-sufficient. And there were a couple of trees there. One was a poplar tree. It had very soft wood. The other was an oak tree with very hard wood. And I told the kids, I said, you know, I bet if you would just close your eyes, you could pretend to walk into those trees and tell the difference in the wood of the two trees. Let's try it, see what happens. So I had them close their eyes. I said, now I want you to pretend you walk over to the tree, reach out your hand and touch the bark. This is on a tree that has a smoother bark and a lighter color bark. I want you to feel of it. What do you think it would feel like? Just use your imagination. What do you think it would feel like? Now, I want you to walk through that bark into the tree, see what color the wood is. Now, I want you to form a fist and knock on the wood and see how hard it is. Now, come on back out. Walk over to this tree with the real rough bark. Our oak trees up here are different than your live oak you have down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I want you to pretend you can walk right through that bark, walk into the tree, form a fist, knock on that wood, see what color it is. Now come on back out, open your eyes. Now tell me, which tree had the hardest wood? Every kid there pointed to the oak tree. What did they do? They mentally projected their mind in the trees and could tell which tree had the hardest wood. Well, I knew they could do it. They didn't know they could, but you just give them an experiment and let them prove to themselves that they can do it. And I said, you're pretty good. I bet if you could walk into a tree, you could walk into a human body. And I bet you could heal bones, heal ulcers, take out tumors, dig out cancer cells. It's not any difference from walking into a human body and walking into a tree. Just use your imagination. Well, 10 years go by. One day my kid comes in from school and says, Daddy, this little boy at school that has cancer and he's in the intensive care unit and he is not expected to live more than another day or so. Do you think you can help him? And I said, well, you've been hanging around me for 17 years now. You know how we do these things. Why don't you do it? And I'll come back after a while and see how you've done. Well, about 3 hours later, I came back and I said, let's check on the kid, see what you've done for him. I couldn't find anything wrong with him. So we have a way with dowsing to go back in time. So I went back in time till 9 o'clock that morning. And the spirit of death was on him. His vital signs had shut down, and I couldn't even get a read on his energy. It was so low. But, you know, he never died. He'd come back to school before the week was out. Nobody ever knew what happened. And unless they're listening tonight, they'll never know. We never told them. So a year later, he comes in one day. Daddy, his little girl in school, 2 weeks ago, had bone cancer. Said, I didn't tell you about this. I just thought I'd see if I could help her. I didn't say anything to anybody about it. So she came back today, and they've had all the tests done on her, and they can't find any bone cancer. It seems to have disappeared. They don't know what happened to it. I said, you did pretty good, kid. You've been listening. So kids will live up to or down to our expectations. So if you want your kids to accomplish something, set goals for them, and they're likely to live up to them.
I would say believe in your kids, too.
Say that again, please.
To believe in your kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you don't believe in them, you know, and believe in the validity of their thinking and their independence as a person. Because even a four-year-old or five-year-old can have some very profound thoughts at times because the perspective is so different from ours. We've gotten so set in our adult thinking, you know?
Well, I never let a day go by, but when I told my kid I was proud of her, when she finally went to school, the last thing she would hear when I put her on the school bus was, I'm proud of you. And I still do that today, and she's almost 23. So
I can remember the school psychologist, you know, announcing that my kids were independent thinkers, like they had social disease of some sort. And that I, too, had the independent thinking going on. And I thought, well, aren't you supposed to? So, you know, I had some issues with whether or not independent thinking was a good thing. And I always did. And the school that my kids attended didn't think that it was a good thing.
Well, that's because they had went to school and been taught it wasn't a good thing. We live in a world, I said, monkey see, monkey do. And if some monkey gets smarter, there ain't much going to change. So, I promote independent thinking.
I think independent thinking makes us not get in the box to begin with.
That's right.
And that's a good thing. I always thought it was a quality to be encouraged, and therefore I did some very strange things with my kids. Sometimes they'd say, well, can you do this? And it's like, okay, let's try it. Then again, on occasion, they would try independently an experiment that was not well thought out. And my son one time decided to take a plastic bag, a fork, and the gas burner on the stove somehow to make an air balloon. That was not a successful experiment.
No, I guess not.
But, yeah, you know, you did have to set limits as to what experiments and how much independence was okay. Yeah.
Say that again.
I did have to set limits as to what kind of experiments could be tried without parental assistance.
Well, yeah. But, you know, maybe I just was lucky. That's a possibility. But we didn't have discipline problems. We didn't have a brat either. We had a well-behaved, polite kid. And it was because that made her feel good about herself. And I always taught her, you know, to be kind to other kids. Be as kind as you can to everybody. But also, don't ever let people push you around, and don't let people make you do things you don't want to do. And I promote this very strong in the classes I teach. I encourage people to stand up, ask questions, ask why. And then if it doesn't make sense, don't do it. I mean, this country has lost its independence. It's been seem like just too many followers. I don't want to get up on that, though. I'd rather stick to something more positive here.
Because we could really get a heated discussion going as far as whether or not, you know, we are an independent country and where the political state is going to take us. But, yeah, it's a good idea to leave that one alone because we can have an upset audience, too, as we all decide to go on different degrees of tangents. But, you know, okay, as far as the water thing goes, one of the questions that was typed into the virtual auditorium a while ago was, as far as cleaning up the water, can you do it like with entire bodies of water, like streams and lakes?
Well, we believe so. And I've had some feedback on that. There was a lady told me one day that she was going down to South Carolina to visit some relatives, and they had a fairly large pond there. Now, I don't know exactly how large, but there was kind of a scum all over it, just dirty looking, so the dogs wouldn't even drink out of it. Well, she had energized a gallon of water with her film, poured it in the pond, and they went to the beach for about 6 hours. Came back, and the water was clear, no scum on it, and the dogs out there playing in it, and all the neighborhood had noticed it and come up, gathered around, trying to figure out what had happened. Now, I didn't see that. I'm just taking her word for it. As to how large a body of water, I honestly don't know. I have tried some pretty big experiments, but until I can actually verify that we've done something or at least have feedback from people that's telling me they did something, I hesitate to make any claims on this. But I remember we worked with some lady, I believe this was over in North Carolina, whose spring was going dry. And we brought the water back in the spring. Matter of fact, we've had a number of folks tell us that we were able to bring water back into a spring or into a well that was going dry. Now, This stuff does not seem to work equally for everyone. I try to be as clear and upfront as I can on anything I'm talking about here because I have no intent to deceive anybody. I believe to a great degree it is due to the belief system of the person doing the work. I just know that some people are able to accomplish a lot more with their mind than others. But I want to tell you about my buddy Jeff Jones. Back in 97, I was teaching a class, and at the time, I only knew how to energize a small container of water, like maybe a cupful. So I was teaching the class how to do that. And I had never met Jeff before at that time. And he was in the class, and he said, "You're putting energy in water?" I said, "Yeah, I think so." He said, "Well, if that's true, then why could we not put vitamins and minerals in water. And I said, well, I don't know of any reason you couldn't. And Jeff has not had a meal since 97. Now, I've had a number of doctors, nurses, and professional medical people tell me that's impossible. Can't be done. I've got a standard answer. Jeff drives a lot across America. He's a very friendly fellow. Why don't you hang out with him on the road for about a month, see if you can catch him eating anything? Hadn't had any takers on that one yet. He's quite an unusual person. But every morning he takes a gallon of water, and with intent, and that's all he has is intent. He intends to put his vitamins, minerals, and nutrition in that water that will do him for the next 24 hours. Actually, we have Jeff featured in two of our DVDs. One is called Energized Water, which I mentioned earlier. We interviewed him in that one. And we also interviewed him in a film we made called Prosperity and Freedom. I was got to thinking, why is most of the human race neither prosperous nor free? What is it that keeps us from being that way? So I kind of made a list of as many things as I could think of and figured out ways to eliminate them and turned it into a DVD to help people to have more prosperity and more freedom in their life. And it seems to have worked pretty good for folks. I'm not going to say it's worked equally for everybody, because the only thing I know that works equally for everyone is the law of gravity. It seems to be fairly constant. Most everything else seems to have an exception to it.
Oh, that's...
And for the folks interested in the food allergy, I have a DVD called Reading the Dowsing Chart. And it shows people how to use dowsing, how to read a chart, and how to ask questions and all this to get them started on it. And in that film, I do a mass clearing for the audience. I filmed that one in class with the intent that it would apply to whoever was watching the film. And this is something we've done that we don't think has ever been done before, and that is create a film that will have the desired and intended effect upon whoever is watching it. So can't ever promise anybody it's going to do anything for you. I'm just saying that was our intent, and we get some pretty good feedback on it.
Well, it sounds interesting, because I have never heard of anybody attempting to do that with a video before.
Well, we didn't know it could be done until we changed the energy of that water on Coast to Coast radio show that night. I didn't have a clue it could be done. And then that just opened up a whole new world for us. You know, wait a minute here. We can reach all kind of people. Matter of fact, we do classes over in Rome, Italy, with those DVDs. Now, I don't go there. I simply send the DVDs, and they play them and translate them into Italian, and then I send them a little one-page thing on how to, the bottom line on how to change the energy of the water, and those folks take it and go to work and do quite well with it.
That's cool.
What we did with this Blueprint for Freedom, the one that is we made for the elimination of abuse, haven't got to do it yet, but I've got it. What the plan is to transcribe that, and it's already partially transcribed. Someone up in Canada did it for me, and I haven't had a chance to check it yet because I've been out on the road a lot. But what we're going to do is transcribe that. Then we want to make it available probably on the website that anyone can copy the transcription and then translate it into whatever language that they desire to. And by doing so, then we would be able to reach people that wanted it in any country in the world in their own language.
Well, that's fascinating.
Well, it's really pretty simple. I mean, heck,
well,
everything we do is simple.
Things work best. You know, and that's very true. Simple things work best. Sometimes we complicate things way too much.
Well, that's for people that went to school too much. I never went, or at least not very much. If I have somebody in my audience that talks for 5 minutes asking a question, and they get done, and I don't have a clue what they want to know, I just politely tell them, you went to the wrong school, and you stayed too long. Now shorten it to one sentence, and I'll try to help you.
Yeah, I know people like that. By the time they get done asking the question, you have no clue what they were asking about. They have you lost in the woods.
So we find that simple works better, and common people can understand it. I tell people when I'm making a talk in front of a fairly large audience, keep your stuff real, questions real simple, because watermelon is the biggest word I know.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. So this DVD that you have about the learning to douse, somebody who has never seen it, anything about dousing, has no clue how it works. Can they sit down with this video and actually effectively use dousing?
Well, that was the plan. But can I promise them that they will understand it? No, I don't promise anybody anything, really. I will say I made it as simple as I knew how to make it. I would like to tell you a story here. This took place 8-9 years ago in a place. This lady wrote a letter on this lighter. When she walked in the classroom, she didn't have a clue what the word dowsing meant. She came because she had read that I had studied with some Native American medicine people, and she was interested in that. So she gets her pendulum at the end of the day, starts practicing with it. Before the week is out, she's already taking the pain out of her son's knee, stopping babies from crying in restaurants, getting parking places at the busiest time of day, ending non-productive conversations without saying a word. She's doing all this stuff mentally with her dowsing. Now, you don't always have to pull out a pendulum. And like I say, I use a 45 caliber bullet on the chain and use that. Some people are real timid about that. To me, it really doesn't matter if people are watching or not. Like, I walk in a grocery store, and if I want to think about buying something, I want to know what the nutritional value is. I just pick it up and put a pendulum, and I'll check it right there on the spot. But most folks are a little bit too shy to do things like that. If some politician comes up and asks me to vote for him, first thing I'll do is pull out a pendulum and check his integrity level. And so, of course, you can find out most anything you want to know about anybody that's ever lived if you just know the right questions to ask.
To know the right questions. How would you know the right questions?
Well, you got to think. You got to think, what are you really asking? See, I really don't believe most people listen to themselves talk. And just like checking nutritional value of food, you don't ask if it's good for you or bad for you. You could ask, is a soft drink good for you? You likely get a no. If you ask if diesel fuel mixed with turpentine and rat poison good for you, you'll get a no, but it won't tell you the difference between the two. That's why you just ask, what is the effect of this upon my body? Really a very simple question.
Okay.
You just got to think, what is it I really want to know? And then that's the question you ask. And you ask questions that can be either answered with a yes or a no, or with a numerical value. And most of the time, I ask questions that can be answered with a numerical value of percentage. Like, for example, what is the overall result of my action? You want to make an investment, you simply ask, what is the overall result of this investment? If bought on a certain day and sold on a certain day. Now, I'm not going to tell people to go out and get rich in the stock market with it, but matter of fact, I have used it for that. I've used it fairly successfully. I have one particular client in real estate, and when he gets a new listing, he sends me an email for me to clear the property for him. And I invited him to a class up in Minnesota because he had been such a good client, pays well. And he told the folks, he said, I have made more money since I've been working with this man than I've ever made in my entire life, and I've made it easier. So I'm going to film another DVD on dowsing for business practices. Like if you work with people and they want your money, you've got a right to know if they're honest or not. If you hire an employee, you want to know if they're going to steal from you. So you check to see what are the tendencies for stealing. Real simple.
Now, how would you apply that sort of dowsing technique to relationships? Say you're dating.
Well,
you're looking
you check
at
compatibility level. On a scale of 0 to 100 plus or minus, what is this person in mind compatibility?
Okay, that makes sense.
What is their level of respect toward me? What is their level of integrity toward me? I mean, it's just, it's really a no-brainer.
Yeah?
Just think, what is it you want to know? And word the question in a very blunt, concise, intelligent manner. And now, it's going to take everybody some practice, and it took me a lot of practice. I was not a natural at this stuff. Most things in my life I've had to work hard for. So some people are naturals at it, though. Some are not. And you need to practice some. So anybody that's interested, well, then they can check the website. We've got various information there to help folks out. But it's not any great mysterious thing. It's just simply a matter of using your mind.
Well, I've often told people that I thought ritual was nothing more than a technique for focusing of the mind. And a lot of people thought I was being horribly disrespectful to the many rituals we fill our lives with. But it really does seem like focusing the mind is the most important thing that we can learn to do.
Well, yeah. Because there's a lot of power in focused thought, and there's hardly any power in unfocused thought. So focusing the mind on what you want, and that is the number one rule of success, is think of what you want, not what you don't want, and being able to focus the mind and do your thinking at a lower brain frequency. And all a lower brain frequency is a relaxed state of mind, and in truth, it's nothing more than daydreaming. See, all this stuff is simpler than people have made it. The world has just complicated things way too much.
Yeah, most of us have a lot of trouble relaxing. That's one of my biggest character flaws is that I stay under too much stress. I let things bother me way too much and learn to relax without having to leave home. I should be able to relax in my own home, you know? And that's something I have a very hard time learning to do.
Well, let me check you out here. It looks to me like you've got, we use a term called archetype, which is a trait or characteristic that affects a person's behavior, and you've got about 10 warrior archetypes.
Ah!
So we'll work to see if we can get rid of them for you.
Yeah, they could definitely go away. Worrying does not do much production. And it's, you know, I don't know about everybody else, but I know that I have a lot of projects that are going on right now. It's very important to me that these projects all pan out. And so I do. I do tend to focus too much on, well, what if this doesn't happen? Or what if that does happen? What am I going to do about it? And I need to learn to let it go.
Well, there's a lot of questions, far more than we could ever get into on the air or in any kind of a phone conversation. But with everything, there is probably some both positive and negative probable futures. Well, the trick is to eliminate the negative probable futures and focus on the positive. So I tell folks,
yeah,
for most anything, there are an infinite number of probable futures. And it is our intent that makes a difference in which one of the probable futures that we attract to us.
Okay. But
so
you know what,
really, Jill, it all boils down to intent. Dowsing is simply a way to achieve the intent. There's no mystery about it.
That's a great thought. We've run out of time. Could
okay,
you
can I give
quick,
my websites again?
Yep. Would you real quick do that?
All right. RaymondGrace.us, RaymondGraceProjects.com, and RaymondGraceFoundation.org.
Okay, folks, it sounds like Raymond has got some great stuff on his website. I've looked at them, and I thought they were quite interesting. So drop on over, take a look at his. With that, we are out of time once again. Raymond, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and being a fantastic guest. I really enjoyed the program tonight, and I hope all of the audience has as well.
Well, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to all those folks out there tonight.
Yeah, thank you. I hope that it has provided plenty of food for thought and more illumination for everyone's personal journey towards truth. Join us again next week as November Hansen joins me, and we will have a panel discussion on a very interesting topic with some very interesting guests. With that, we are truly out of time. I'm your host, Gia Scott, and good night.